Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for that word. We're called to get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. For what purpose? To receive what you have for us. In Joel chapter 2, we're told, after that he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's the word that was just given here right now. Upon all flesh. Who's that? Your young ones, your old ones. They will get dreams and they will get visions. Maybe the other way around. For what purpose? To speak out as an encouragement to the body. To move according to the power of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? That they could go and tell of the good news that we were just singing about. That they could tell of the Savior that we have and the hope that we have and how they can have that same hope too. Thank you. Get ready for this good work. What does a good work look like? Going to the hungry. Going to the naked. Going to the prisons. Going to the least of these, because where that is, he is. And you go covered in love. Where else do you go? What else do you do? You go to preach the gospel. Tell of who he is. Tell. Who do you go to for that? You go to anybody for that. You go to your enemy. You go to your in-laws. Your outlaws, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, and you go and you tell them of the hope that you have. Get ready. Get ready. And the last thing that's just coming to me right now is, as I listen to the worship, it says, how does that, on sinking sand, that first part, how does that go?
On Christ the solid.
Rock I stand, all else is sinking sand.
Rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Here's the other ground. We're talking about on sand, right? We're talking about Peter on water. When they took their eyes off of Christ, we said this before, they begin to sink and they begin to feel fear. Here's where we don't grow. We don't go to the place of fear. We don't go to the place of anxiety, though those things may rise up. We go to the place of hope. We go to Christ. And in this day, the focus has to be on Christ Jesus. That's where we look. We don't look to our neighbor who's behaving one way and our brother or sister who's behaving another way. We don't look to that. We look to him. Let him look to that. We look to him. Before you know it, you're standing on solid ground. Then no weapon formed against you prospers. Amen? Then you're ready to go. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We're ready to go and do what he's called us to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the move of your precious Spirit here in this place. Have your way in this place. Have your way in this place in our hearts. Have your way. Help us to get ready. Help us to turn to you. Help us to ask for more of you, to do more for you. We pray this now. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. 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 We're going to ask you to continue to stand because I'm going to have Sally come up and read. So if you can continue standing for the reading of the word.
Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb takes the scroll. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever.
Amen. Dave, can you just come right here and with your strong, bold voice, could you pray for us? You're going to go micless, so you have to face them. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. What a way to start the day. Amen. Well, I don't want to scare anybody here, but I've had two people, honestly, come up to me and say, that clock in the back, they want me to get rid of it. Can you believe that? They want me to get rid of the clock. We're not going to get rid of the clock. But I did some calculating. So we've been going from about mid-March to Pentecost Sunday without any services. So you guys owe me just like a ton of minutes. So I guess I can look at that clock and it doesn't intimidate me at all. So we're going to maybe catch up to some of that today. Hallelujah. Before we get started in today's message, I just need to share a little bit about where we've been. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, we started in the book of Daniel with his prophecy of the 70 weeks. And from there, we went to the rapture of the church, which is the end of that period. And then it was the beginning of the 70th week. So between the 69th and 70th weeks, we know that there's a gap. And that gap is the new era, the new covenant. Some people call it the church age. That's appropriate. But it's his time for when Jews and Gentiles alike will receive God's word and will come to Christ. But in the lesson today, we're going to learn that there is a real focus for God and his chosen people to go after the Jew. And it's powerful. And he'll go to great lengths for those that he loves. So when did that gap period begin? It began when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. That was a start of this. Or I should say it was the end of the 69th week and the start of this new era where we're not looking at the prophecy at this time. When God calls up his church, as we read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that rapture of the church was the end and it was the beginning of the next period of time, which is called the tribulation. And then last week we talked about the wedding supper of the Lamb, the rapture of the church and the wedding supper of the Lamb. For the believer in that day who is called up, hoping it's all of you. If it's not you, you can take care of that business today by getting right with Christ, by making him Lord and Savior of your life. But for those who are called up to the wedding supper, that is a 1 week period. And it's a week of years. It's a 7 year period up in heaven. What are we doing? It's more than what I can grasp and imagine, to be honest with you. But it'll look like something like what we read from Revelation when we'll be singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We'll be singing the new song. We'll be worshiping up in heaven with a worship like we have not experienced. Came close a couple of times. It'll be glorious. It'll be grand. It'll be beyond what we can, with our finite minds, imagine. And I want to be there. And even more than me wanting you there, I know our Savior wants you there. But during that same period of time, I believe. So you have to do your own study to go deeper into this. But as I see it, the tribulation period will be happening. What's the tribulation period? It's a progressive cycling of judgments upon the earth. Seven judgments at a time. And the first two cycles of this cycling are for God trying to get the attention of those that he so desperately loves. And there's so much to talk about within this. This is not a study on the book of Revelation. This is really a study on the 70th week and the tribulation. So if you've been in the Daniel studies, which many of you have, don't get upset if I don't give all the information you're looking for. This is about the tribulation that will happen while we are at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen? I think that brings us current. Before I can even get into the scriptures from Revelation, I need to establish a little bit of foundational stuff for all of us. That foundational, it begins in Ezekiel 33. It says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." We need to know that. We're looking at a holy, righteous, yet loving God. The Bible says that God is holy. It also says that he is love. The other thing it says is God is spirit. Wow, there's a lot there. And never once does he forsake one as he's operating in the midst of the other. So when he's operating in wrath, he is fully love. And when he is operating fully in love, he is a righteous and holy God set apart from sin. And he goes on to say, he has no death. No, he have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? He is talking to the Jew. He takes no pleasure in pouring out his wrath upon people. The only place I remember where it says he took pleasure was when he was pouring out his wrath on Christ. And the beautiful thing there is the wrath we're going to talk about today is horrible. It is unbelievable. But I believe personally that it pales in comparison to the wrath that Christ took when he went to the garden. And he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. The burden to carry sin is greater than what you and I know. We know what it's like to carry our own. But to carry the sin of all, past, present, and future, we cannot comprehend. And when he goes to the garden and he prays to the Father, and it says that the Bible says that he sweat blood. Blood poured out of his capillaries in his brain because the pressing and the squeezing, the philipsis, as Mike said a few weeks ago, that's coming on him and forces this to come out of him is greater than what you and I can bear. I cannot bear the weight of my own sin. And when God, the Father, turned his head from Christ because he could not gaze upon the sin that the Son became. For you and for me, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he can't gaze upon sin, because as righteous as he is and wrathful as he needs to be against sin, he is still love. So I believe it's a mystery. And for us to gather and totally understand that is a big charge. In Isaiah 29:16, we have to get our order of things right. "Surely you have things turned around, Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the things made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Isn't that ridiculous? The potter who makes the clay, and the clay or the pot says he doesn't know what he's doing. Or the clay says, and we are the clay, he says he doesn't understand me. It's ludicrous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. No, we're out of order when we think like that. And then Jeremiah 18:11, it says, now therefore speak to men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one of you, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. He's telling us, he's telling the Jews, he's telling mankind to turn from your sin. Because what happens to us in sin, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. He knows that, and he has to abide by that, because that's what God is. That's who he is. That's what he does. He has to judge sin. But then in that verse in Romans, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's why people come to the altar to give praise to him, because they're moved in their spirit, because God is moving in them, in their spirit. And there's a relationship there, and that's what he desires. So he's telling us to turn from what we were and what we were never created to be to what he created us to be at the very beginning. And then I said this verse over the last 3 weeks, and it just means so much for us all. It says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If he sows to the flesh, of the flesh he will reap. But if he sows to the Spirit, thank you, Jesus. If he sows to the flesh, he reaps corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. That's just a warm-up, man. God is so crazy amazing. Not crazy. Crazy amazing. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that your Spirit speak to this vessel. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name. I want to establish one thing just very quickly. When I'm talking about God, and I'm talking about Jesus, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I am talking of the same being. Three separate parts, but one essence. One holy essence. And we need to know that. Revelation 4:5 says, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Right there, he is speaking to the Father and the Spirit. God is Spirit, just encompassing all. In John 4:24, it says, God is Spirit. And then in Revelation 4:8b, it says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That holy, holy Father, Holy Spirit, Holy Jesus. It's like the worship goes on and on, and it's a worship of a triune God. Thank you, Jesus. And what about this triune God? In Revelation 4:11, it says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. This is the Trinity in play. And just by the way, if we go back to the Trinity, the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, we know that the Trinity was present at creation. Right? You've heard it 1,000 times. How was creation made? God the Father spoke. What did he speak? He spoke the Word. Who's the Word? In John 1:1, it tells us that Jesus is the Word of God. He became flesh. And it was carried along, that word was carried along by the Holy Spirit, who was hovering over the waters, and creation came about. How did it come about? He said, and it was. He said, let there be, and it was. He let there be, and it was, for 6 days. And he rested on the seventh. Anybody who tries to diminish any leg of that Trinity are acting as a cult would act. That's cultish. That's not of God. So know always that Our God is three. Our God is one. In spirit and in essence. Revelation 5:11 says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creature and the elders, and the number of them, as Sally read earlier, was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. The Lamb who was slain is Jesus. Verse 13 says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne. Who sits on the throne? The Father sits on the throne. Who's on the throne also is the Son is on the throne. Who is the Father? The Father is Spirit. Now I'm expecting you all to go out in the world and pick fights with people and tell them about the Trinity and all you know about it. I'm kidding. Know it so you can defend it. Know it so you can defend it for yourself, so that you believe and you don't lose hope and you look to other things. Thank you, Jesus. Those three progressive cycling judgments that I was talking about before begins in Revelation chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, now I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see and look and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. This white horse is not to be confused with the horse that comes at the end of the book of Revelation to the battle of Armageddon, when we ride with Christ to defeat the enemies of God, really. This is not what that is. This is judgments coming at the people. Second seal is open, and it says, take peace from the earth. When he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. As we go through these seal judgments, God is about getting the attention of those who are yet to come to faith in him. And the time doesn't last through this whole 7-year period. And he'll do whatever he wants. Remember, they did not receive him before the judgments came, and they're caught in the midst of it. Yet, because of his mercy and his grace, he continues and pursues them with a love that we can't really fathom sometimes, all times. And the third seal, in verse 5 it says, when he opened the third seal, I heard a living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. A denarius is equivalent to a day's wages. So a day's wages would buy a quart of wheat or a quart of barley. Hyperinflation. We have an idea as to what inflation could look like. I think right now in our world, we're on an upward inflation climb, where all of a sudden the prices of things are beginning to take off. I just spent over $10 for a thing of bacon from Maplewood Meats, my favorite bacon in the world, $10. Well, granted, it's got a little more than the other one that's at $9.95 or whatever it was, and which has a little bit more than the one that's $8-something, but basically it's a little bit over a pound of bacon. Steve Reitmeitner told me not to talk about food, but sometimes I can't help myself. But inflation will come in this day, and it will be a hyperinflation. You can't afford hardly to live during this time. We don't have to worry about it. Don't try to plan for a revelation inflation, because you'll be up at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's our hope. Fourth seal, death and Hades and earth. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice from the living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name on him was Death, and Hades followed with him. And the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. And then he opens the fifth seal, and it's the cry of the martyrs who are the martyrs, those who come to believing during this tribulation time, because God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing for those he's loved and called from before the creation of the earth. He knows what he's doing to get their attention because they've walked away from him time and time again when they were here on earth, and he is beckoning them now in the midst of this tribulation to come to him, come to him, to live during this time and to come. Time and to come to Christ during this time will probably cost you your life. And it says here that it's the blood of the martyrs, those who have died for their faith. Praise God they came, because now they are in celebration. The body says to be apart from the body, or the word says to be apart from the body is to be with Christ. And this truth is an everlasting truth for the believer. Thank you, Jesus. Cry of the martyrs, oh Lord God. Let them choose now. Then a white robe was given to each of these martyrs. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and brethren who will be killed, who would be killed as they were, was completed. The number of those coming out of this sealed judgment period that will come to Christ has a number. And only God knows that number. He won't rest until they all come. He has the same mentality that he showed when he was here on the earth, going after the one that left the 99. Jesus doesn't give up on those who are his. He is passionate for those who are his. There's no quit in Jesus. We saw that when he was in the garden. There was no quit. Thank you, Jesus. Sixth seal. Revelation 6:12 says, when I looked, he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as when a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded in the scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and every island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in caves and rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And then if I move to Revelation 7, I'm just going to talk about it really quickly. It is the sealing. It is the sealing of the 12 tribes, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Why is God sealing Jewish evangelists? Because he is going after his. And he's going after him with great passion. And he sends out these pure men of God, anointed with the seal of God, operating still by the Spirit of God, to do what? To share the word of God and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That they would be saved. But it's only for a time. It doesn't last through the whole tribulation period. There comes a time when the door is shut forever. And we move from the seal judgments into the trumpet judgments. And the trumpet judgments are that much more severe. That much more ferocious, I guess is a word. I don't know if it's a good one. You got a good word for me? What's a good word for that, for the judgments? It's worse than ferocious. Disastrous. What'd you say? I can't say that word. Compestuous? I don't know that word. Oh, I got to go back to the thesaurus. Okay. That's good. He opens the seventh seal, and there was silence. And I'm sorry. Yeah, the seventh seal, which brings about the next seven judgments. There's silence in heaven for about a half hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them who were given seven trumpets. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, and the first trumpet blast in verse 7 of chapter 8. It says, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees burned up, the grass was burned up. What's going on here? God is now punishing creation. Why? Because at the fall of Adam, when he sinned in the garden, it had an effect on creation. And creation is being judged. I believe another reason why creation is being judged is because we've made her our God in too many places. We worship Mother Earth, Maya. Is that what it was to us? Indian God. We're afraid to make paper because we're killing a tree. We don't eat meat. How can you not eat meat? I hope I didn't offend anybody too bad with bacon. Because we worship the creation instead of worshiping the one true God. I better call Maplewood Meats up right now. People are coming for food. Thank you, Jesus. Then he blows the second trumpet. The seas are struck. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain or an asteroid or something like that, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And then the third trumpet, the waters are struck, not just the sea, but the waters. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers, the springs, the good water that we can drink, right? And the star's name is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became Wormwood. Okay. They became bitter is what the word means. Jesus. When we get to these trumpets, you can see how God has amped up his wrath. And it's flowing from him bit by bit by bit. I am telling you right now, if you think that, right now where you sit, if you think this is fairy tale stuff, or crazy stories, there's not much that has to happen for a lot of this to happen right now. One earthquake in a strategic place wipes out multiple coastal cities in this world. Just one tsunami from one earthquake, one tectonic plate moving at the right place and time, and there's a devastation like we haven't seen before. One volcano, super volcano, going off in a place. This is not unreasonable, what I'm sharing with you. It is flat out frightening, what I'm sharing with you. But we're talking about it now so you have an understanding of the wrathfulness of God when he is operating in his righteousness. Because the same intensity in his love exists at the same time for you. Fifth trumpet. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fall to heaven from heaven to the earth, and was given the key to the bottomless pit or the abyss. And he opens the bottomless pit, and smoke arose of the pit like smoke of a great furnace. They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and not find it. If they will desire to die, they will desire to die, and death will not flee from them. Wow. So this is not a pleasant time to be alive. It's not a place where we want to be. And once again, this is not a place where Jesus wants you to be. He wants you to be at the celebration, the wedding celebration of the Lamb. He wants you to be there. Just like in the days today, he wants you to be in church, worshiping him, praising him, giving glory and honor to him. He wants you to do this in the fellowship of the brethren. Love having you here today, my brother. It's what he wants. Thank you, Jesus. Then it goes on to say in the sixth trumpet, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for that day and hour and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. From the time this began to the time it ended, we are over a half of the mankind has been wiped out. That's about 4 billion people. Why? Because they did not lift up the name of Jesus or call upon his name. They did not call upon him to take away the wrath of God to come to them. They didn't call upon him. Therefore, they did not get him. They did not receive him. He gave it. It's right there, and we didn't receive it. Jesus. And then I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." What was bad is going to get worse. We're moving into the great tribulation. It's not going to get better. I want you to think about this personally. Where do I stand with Jesus right now today? Am I trying to scare you into heaven? Probably. But I don't want you to really go to heaven because of fear. I want you to go to heaven because of the love. Fear becomes the attention getter. Love is the paradigm by which God works always. Jesus. Reason was, after the sixth trumpet, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their sin. God has called mankind to repent. There is no one righteous, none of us. And he calls us to repent, to come to him with our sin and say, "God, I am a sinner. My brokenness is the fact that I sin. My victory is the fact that he takes it from me. And he washes me clean by the shed blood that he poured out upon us, beginning in the garden and going to the cross. And the fact that he rose again showed that he conquered death. It has no sting." I think you get the gist of what I'm talking about those judgments. But I can't let you go on just those, because God gets real here. And then the seventh angel sounds, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty." And I believe that those elders are the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're also the 12 apostles, one representing the law and the prophets, the other representing the new covenant. Those thrones, and they're bowing before God. It's a beautiful picture. Thank you, Jesus. And then in chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water.' And another angel followed, saying, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.' Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation, which is his righteous anger.'" You don't want to be here for that, and God especially does not want you to be here for that. And you see how serious it's getting. Verse 14 says, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a gold crown. And in his hand was a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." This is a harvest of a beautiful thing. because these people going through this tribulation time, through the seal judgments and through the trumpet judgments, are calling out to God. They know. How do they know? Because one of you, multiple numbers of you, have shared the truth of who God was, and they rejected it when you shared it. But God's word does not return void. And it's maybe during this time of great tribulation where their attention is gotten and they receive the word that you gave to them. So when you go out and you share the gospel with people, don't feel defeated when they do this to you or do this to you or do this to you. Know that you did what God asked you to do, was to share his love with them. The rest of it is his business. And he gives the business to the angels to go out and do the harvest. That's what's happening here. But there's another harvest. And this one is brutal. By the way, at this point, after this, there are no more salvations right here. That stops. There's no chance to come to God after this, because they will have received a mark by this time. And that mark on their hand or their head. And by the way, just as a side note, because I have so much time left, you will know what you're taking when you receive that mark. It's not going to be slipped into your coffee or somebody's going to slap a quick tattoo on you and all of a sudden you got the mark. Oh, no, I'm destined forever. No. You'll know exactly what you're taking. It will be a rebellion and a rejection of God. And you will make it. Some people have done that today, but God got their attention because he pursues. And they hadn't taken the mark yet. And I don't want to get into that. There's all kinds of things about that. But I just want you to know that by Revelation 14:14, salvation, now it's about the judgment. In verse 19, it says, so the other angels thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And if you remember, that winepress is really what I believe Jesus experienced in the garden, carrying the weight of sin for you and me. They're going to get the judgment that we were supposed to get, except for what Christ did for us. Thank you, Jesus. We should be just giddy with thank you. You can't thank him enough. You should be thanking him all the time. You should be like the angel singing, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. You should be saying, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, I get it now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You should be weeping and giving thanks. Don't grow weary in giving thanks to God. Just challenge. I only got 2 pages to go. Now, he comes to the third cycle of progressively difficult and trying judgments, and he gets to the bowl judgments. With the last seal judgment, he announces the 4 bowl judgments, and these are horrible. This is pure wrath of God coming on against sin. That's what's happening. He's coming against sin. And those who did not receive his gift of salvation. He is coming against the idols that we have made. That means demonic things he is coming against. This world he is coming against. Those who live by the flesh and sowed to the flesh instead of sowing to the spirit. He is coming for them. You always heard us say that the 3 things we battle is the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? He's coming after those things. And he is judging the world, the flesh, and the devil. And now he's letting it all hang out. First one he's going to come against. Before I get into this, I just want to explain that thing about the judgments. In Ephesians chapter 6, when we say we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We wrestle against powers or principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual hosts or forces of wickedness. That's what he's coming against in these judgments. The stuff we've been wrestling with our whole life as believers. We go to war. Somebody says a negative thing. We're not wrestling against man. It's the spirit behind it. Does that make sense? Okay. So in chapter 16, verse 1, it says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying, the 7 angels go out and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. And in verse 2, it says, So the first went out and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped its image. So they're worshipping something other than God. I think it's appropriate to even say it right now. What do you worship? Well, we know what we worship when we know where our time and our money goes. That's a good indication of what we're worshiping. And by nothing's out of bounds on this. Sally, I love you. Have I told you that lately? I really love you. I think you're amazing. You give me joy. But if I worship her before I worship God, that's an idol in my life, and I can't have that. See how subtle it gets? What gets your time and what gets your effort? And by the way, I hold you in high esteem, and when I'm thinking pretty high and mighty about you, I have to come back to Christ and be reminded that he is always first. It's about Jesus. From beginning to end, it's been about Jesus. That was for free. No charge on that one. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Then the third bowl comes, and waters, good waters, turn to blood. Remember, it was in the previous cycle? Well, now it's more, greater intensity. On the rivers and on the springs of water, and they became blood. It reminds us a little bit of what happened with in Pharaoh's day, right, with Moses, what he did to the waters and the famine, the pestilences that caused. Jesus. Then the third angel poured out his bowl in the river spring and became like blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, it's something, the waters have an angel over them. And this is so cool. It says, the angel says, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. See, some people can't handle that. They can't handle the judgment, and they begin to judge God. How many people do you know in the church, too? We judge God for how he judges. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? He knows how to judge. And the angel is saying, you have judged rightly. Because they see and they know so much more than we do. You have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. And you have given them to drink blood, for it is their just due. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Another angel says the same thing. Fourth bowl. Men are scorched. The fourth angel poured out his bowl in the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Right now, people in the world today get very upset about carbon emissions because it creates global warming. And it does. So does the sun being controlled by God cause global warming. And when the ice caps begin to melt, not like 3 inches a year or 4 inches a year, but by 200 feet because they've melted because of the scorching heat, because a judgment is coming upon the world. That's a little different, isn't it? I'm not telling you fairy tales or stories. I'm telling you the truth of God's word. How true is God's word? In John 1:14, it says, and the word became flesh. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. This is his word. It's true. And he'll say it at the end of this book. For it is their just due. And men are scorched. Why? At the last part of that sentence, it says, because they did not repent and give glory to God. Where do you sit right now in your relationship with God? Do you give him glory? I think I heard it with you, where somebody was saying about the Holy Spirit. Oh, I probably heard it on Thursday night, Friday night, I probably heard it. We sometimes think that the Holy Spirit works for us, but we're to work for the Holy Spirit. A beautiful statement and so true. Repent and give him glory. Fifth bowl, darkness and pain. Fifth angel pours out his bowl on the throne and of the beast. Now God is pouring judgment on the throne where the beast sits. And he is going to judge that who has been tormenting you and I and people for millennia. And his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed at their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their evil deeds. I'm going to go very quickly here because I want you to think about all of this. In the sixth bowl, he dries up the Euphrates. The sixth angel pours out his bowl in the great river Euphrates, and his waters are dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which will go out to the kings of the earth and to the whole world. And now God is beginning to gather them for battle. And I think you know the battle, and we're going to talk about that next week. And then in verse 16, the seventh bowl is poured out into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And what was it that was done? In verse 18, it says, "And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake has not been seen or occurred since men were on earth." What happens when we have an earthquake like that? Once again, to the coastal cities, to the skies that get darkened, to this world, God has made his final statement of judgment. I'm going to share more with you next week. And next week has a whole lot more hope than what we hear here. But we have a hope because we have in Christ in us. We have Jesus in us. So what do you have to do to have Jesus in you? You ask for him. What do you have to do to have the Holy Spirit in you? You ask for it. You ask, say, "I want this." So what do you want when you ask for Jesus? I want salvation. I want the love that you have, which is pure love. I want that. I want my hurt and I want my pain to go away. I want to know that I can live in hope and not in fear. I want to know that the sins that I've committed have been taken from me and removed as far as the east is from the west and remembered against me no more. I want that. I want the assurance that I will be with you at the wedding supper. I want to be with you in the heavenly choir that sings, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." I want to be with you wherever you are. That's what salvation is. When we ask Jesus to come in, we say, "Jesus, I want you to take my sin. And Jesus, I remove myself from my own throne and I put you on it." That's what salvation is. I'm going to ask everybody just close your eyes. I think this is a personal, private message. The Bible says that we have all sinned. There is no perfect people anywhere. The best of mankind came up short. But God. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, I surrender to you. Never done this before. I was too proud to, probably. But Lord, I want to do that today. I want to surrender to you and I want to receive your free gift of salvation from all that's to come. I want to receive your free gift of protection. I want to receive your free gift of hope. I want to receive the fullness of who you are. I want to be changed." That's repentance. Most of the judgments in the seventh bowl judgments came because they did not repent. So I want to give you my sin. If that's you today, and yeah, you want that, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand high so I can see it. People should have their eyes shut. This isn't about anybody else. It's about you. Is there anybody that'd like to receive Jesus today? I see your hand, young man. That's good. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? Wallow? You have one of your children are raising their hands. Yeah, just so you know. Talk. Is there anybody else? It's a beautiful thing when a child makes that decision. They'd like to receive Jesus today? Okay, Tim? I'm going to ask you to pray for my two brothers over here that raised their hand. Okay. Heavenly Father, by the way, you can do this at home today. You can do this in your car before you get home today. You can do this sitting right in your seat and it's not audible. This is an issue of your heart. You can be saved right where you are and not a word come out of your mouth. Later he'll say, He wants you to confess who he is. But right now, you receive him right where you're at. I don't care what church you go to or any of that. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is him. You ask him to come into your heart today and be Lord of your life. So Heavenly Father, I pray for this congregation, all there are here, that you would pour a blessing upon each one who belongs to you. I pray that by your Spirit you would pour out on the flesh in this place, that you would reveal yourself to each of us in greater ways, in Jesus' name. Now bless each as they go in their daily walk, in their places of work. But Father, I pray that you bless them manyfold over in their worship. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor James will close us off with a song. And then we're free to visit. I'm going to ask that you do most of your visiting outside, just because it's nice and hot, and that would be good for us all. Amen.
Know that God is capable of, and all he's done and what he will do. But by the grace of God, thank God that we are saved by the Son of God, Jesus, the Savior. It's amazing grace, isn't it? Let's sing that. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Let's say
that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I was blind,
but now I see.
My chains are gone,
I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me like a flood, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, an end in love.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, my chains are gone. My chains are gone.
I've been
set. My God, my Savior, and like a flood sing, and like a
His mercy,
Jesus, unending love.
Amazing
grace.
God, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the promises that we find in your word that are true and that are relevant for our lives today. Help us to live lives that are empowered by your Holy Spirit, that we can go back out into the world that is so dark and that is hurting, and share the light of your love that shines in us and through us, God. Help us to be patient and kind and generous and joyful, filled with abundance from every cell in our body, every part of our DNA with your Holy Spirit, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, God. Do in us and through us what only you can do, God. Continue to unite us with one another inside these walls and outside the walls of this church, God, with other churches in this community, Lord. We want to see the spirit of unity reign in this community, Lord, for the power and the glory of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You are dismissed today.